It's Brother Hansen from Truth and Life Ministries here in Lakeside, Arizona. It's good to be here with you today. We're going to get right into our study in the book of the Revelation. We are now getting right into the book. Hope you're going to enjoy this, because you should, because when you read it, it opens up a blessing. And if you believe it, it even gives you a greater blessing. So when we read this book, keep that in mind, that you're going to get a blessing by keeping this book in your heart and believing it, actually believing the book, because it is a tremendous book of prophecy and revelation of what's to come, and I know you're going to enjoy it. So let's get right into our study. We left off yesterday, and I think we're going to review just a little bit, because it warrants bringing up once again. And let's go ahead and revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show his servants what must happen soon. This is a great book. Oh, man. It show his servants. Are you a servant of God today? He wants to show you things that shortly will come to pass. And this is great, because it's something that you want something to actually give you some knowledge. It will give you some knowledge of what's shortly going to come to pass. Greeting, John, to the seven churches of Asia. Grace to you, peace from him who was, and who is to come. That gives it all of the information you need about Jesus Christ. He was, he is to come, and he was always. This is God, folks. This is not Allah. This is not a fake God like Allah. This is the real God. This is the real Jesus. This is the real God of heaven and earth. And he will give you salvation, if you want it, and there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I want you to realize something, the importance of that. You cannot be saved with Allah. You cannot be saved with Muhammad. You cannot receive salvation with these, because they do not believe in Christ as the Redeemer. They do not. They want to kill Christians. Why in the world would you ever get involved with an Islam or some form of Islamic faith and think that it had anything to do with our God? It is not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob would never tell you to kill a Christian. Face it. It wouldn't happen. And I want you to realize this. And this is John to the seven churches of Asia. Grace, peace, and to him who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits, the sevenfold anointing of God, as in Isaiah chapter 11. And Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and a ruler. The ruler. There you go. That says it all. I can't get away from this. This is just so good. He's the ruler. So, if you want to know who rules, Christ is above all and in all. And he created it all. If you want to know, he created it all. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That says it all. To him who loves us, has freed us from our sins by his blood. If anyone asks you about salvation, what constitutes salvation? What constitutes? Oh, you got to live right, Brother Hansen. You got to live right. You got to treat people right. I'll tell you what you have to do. You got to receive the blood. You got to receive the blood of the Redeemer. That is the only thing that will save you. If you think good deeds are going to save you, you're fooling yourself. You are fooling yourself. Now, faith in the blood will perform a change in your body, in your mind, in your soul, in your spirit. Hopefully, if it doesn't, then you better question whether you really believe. There you go. And if it doesn't change you and change you to a person of Christ-likeness, then we wonder if you really receive faith in the first place. Well, let's continue reading. By his blood, who has made us into kings, priests, and for his God the Father, to him be the glory and power forever. Amen. Behold, he is coming amid the clouds, and every eye shall see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will lament him. Yes, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, the one who is and was and who is to come. There it is, reaffirming. He's God. He's God. And religions are a dime a dozen. They are a dime a dozen. If you think other religions can save, you are fooling yourself. And they will not save you. The only thing that saves you is believing that Christ is divine, that Christ is God, that Christ is the expression of God he's the visible form of the invisible God. And that's what he is. And you must realize this, otherwise your salvation is not complete. Because, like I say, salvations, generic salvation, will teach that Christ is not God. They will teach that Christ is an angel. They will teach that Christ has been created by God somehow instead of being from the beginning. They will teach everything and anything, that he's some kind of a created being most of the time, and that Lucifer, which is a fallen angel, and Christ are brothers. They are not brothers, folks. This is the biggest lie of the century. And teaching, you see all kinds of garbage, like Jesus was a Muslim? No, he wasn't Muslim. Give me a break, will you? I mean, this is just, it is insulting. It's insulting to think that Jesus was a Muslim or a Palestinian or whatever you want to call it. He was God, folks. Don't ever, ever believe or think that he's a created angel or a created being, because he was not. He never was. He's always been. He's always, he is to come. He's always God and ever will be God. God never changes. I am the Lord. I change not. And you might think that the triunity is hard to understand. It is. You have to believe it by faith. The triunity is not easy to believe. If you knew it, if you could understand it, you would be God. And a lot of preachers will sit and tell you, oh, I understand the Trinity. Oh, you have become fully of Trinity. No, you don't. You don't. They're fooling themselves. You know, if I could, I've heard Jerry Falwell say something, and, you know, I'm not completely a Jerry Falwell follower or anything like that, but one thing that he did say, he said, if I could understand the Trinity, I'd be God. You know, I love that statement. I love that, because if you could understand the Trinity, the triunity, you'd be God. A lot of people think that they can understand the Trinity, but they don't. Don't ever think that anybody can sit down with you and, let me explain the Trinity to you. No, they're fooling themselves. So don't think anything. So let's go ahead and go on a little bit here. We have a little bit of time now. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him, it is extremely important to note from the very beginning, the correct name of the book, actually, in order to ensure is properly interpreted and used, taken from its first line. Its name is not the Book of Revelations, as if this were a series of separate individual revelations, which may be separated and interpreted apart from one another according to the reader's best imagination. Rather, this is one revelation, a unity, a whole, which must be interpreted as a whole. Further, it is essential to understand that this is not a completely new revelation in the sense that everything revealed herein was unknown before. The message of the book of Revelation follows strongly in the tradition of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and Zechariah. As we will see by the extensive references in Revelation to these and other Old Testament books, what was new was John's application of these Old Testament prophetic statements to his own situation in 95 AD. Since John sent his book from Patmos to Asia Minor, it begins in the same way as a letter did in those days. John tells how the revelation he records was first given to Christ by God, who alone knows the times and the seasons that the Father has established by his own authority, Acts 1 and verse 7. What must happen soon here, and the verse 3, the appointed time is near. We are reminded that John fully expected everything in his revelation to happen soon or after he wrote and sent his message. This underscores the idea that we should not interpret Revelation as a prediction of late 20th century events. Blessed is he who reads aloud this prophetic message. This refers to the lecture, the lector who will read Revelation to the seven churches to which it is addressed, and is reminiscent of a bishop's blessing of a deacon prior to the reading of the gospel at Mass. These verses summarize the hopeful and encouraging message of the entire book. The seven spirits before God's throne, this refers to the sevenfold spirit of God given to the Messiah in Isaiah chapter 11, as we went over 1 and 2. It also refers to Zechariah 4:6, where God's message is not by an army nor by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. This is an example of how John uses brief references to the Old Testament in order to say much in few words. He reassures the persecuted Christians to whom he is writing that they need not fear their own weakness, for the strength of God's Spirit is within them. And this is where I think we'll stop here and take this up tomorrow. We got a lot to cover in the book of the Revelation, but that you get a blessing out of it, so I know you will. So, go to our website, krciradio.com, and shoot us a message. Let us know you're listening. And write to us, please. Write to us a little note and let us know you're listening, too. And our box number here in Lakeside, box 424, Lakeside, Arizona, 85929. Till tomorrow's broadcast, this Brother Hanson saying, study to show yourself approved unto God.